You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is off today. There's been a lot of talk about income inequality in the United States lately. A new state-by-state analysis by the Pew Charitable Trust tells part of the story. America's middle class appears to be shrinking in every state. All 50 states showed a decline from the year 2000 to 2013 in the percentage of middle-class households, and Wisconsin fared worst of all of them. Mark Levine joins us now. He's a professor of history, economic development, and urban studies, and director of the UW-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, here's some of the numbers here. According to the study, the percentage of households in the middle class dropped in Wisconsin from 54.6% to 48.9%, and that drop, apparently the biggest in the country. You study Wisconsin. Are these numbers a surprise to you at all?
They're not really a surprise. They're consistent with lots of data that I and other researchers have pulled together over the last few years. I would quibble a little bit, not to get into too deep weeds here, with some of the methodology of the study. I think they define middle class in a way that isn't entirely accurate. They use a kind of a ratio of earnings between 67 and 200% of the median, and that can vary over a period if you look at the issue historically. I think it's better to have kind of a fixed category and then kind of trace that back over the years to see how much that's changed, say, call it between $35,000 and $100,000 a year, and see how many kind of, you know, fall in and out of that category. But it turns out, whichever way you measure it, the Pew way or way others have measured it, there's been an erosion in Wisconsin of that middle, and in fact an erosion across the country. As you accurately point out, this has happened in every state. It just so happens that Wisconsin is among the leaders, and we see that in the kind of the big takeaway number, not only the decline in the proportion of middle-class households, but between 2000 and 2013, a 14% decline, really a staggering decline, a 14% decline in real median household income in Wisconsin. And that's, you know, the clearest measure of standard of living. And so we've had about a 14% decline in standard of living over the last 13, 14 years.
This raises a lot of questions about why. Where I want to start is in this 2000 to 2013 time frame, right smack in the middle, more or less, the Great Recession, 2007, 2008, in the next couple of years. How much of this do you think is the impact of that recession versus some kind of longer-term trend?
I think we've actually got kind of three factors going on. One is a longer-term trend. Economists are now referring to this as kind of a secular stagnation period, secular meaning a longer-term period of time, for a variety of reasons, and we certainly, I think, can talk about those, the loss of manufacturing jobs, issues of unionization, deunionization, the impact of trade and globalization. All of those have affected Wisconsin particularly acutely for a variety of reasons, and they've been kicking in, I would say, for 20 or 30 years, but with particular acuity in the last decade or so. So you've got the trend sort of from the late 90s, early 2000, that's kind of leading to this wage stagnation and the shrinkage of the middle class. Then, as you point out, you've got the big bombshell, the Great Recession, which obliterated the incomes across the country. And a big chunk of the 2000 to 2013 decline occurred right in that 2007 to 2009 period of the Great Recession. But then I think we've got the third piece of this, and this, again, particularly hits Wisconsin, that since at the end of the Great Recession, and since, let's say, 2010 and 2011, we've had a kind of an exacerbation of those long-term trends, in part, I think, probably through some policy choices that again, we can talk about, in part because we've recovered particularly slowly in certain areas from the Great Recession. We've had an increase, for example, in inequality. Almost all the income gains since the end of the Great Recession have gone to the top 1% in Wisconsin, and I think that's played a role in this too. So I think we've got kind of three pieces of this puzzle, and they all contribute in various ways.
Talking to Mark Levine of the UW-Milwaukee about the declining middle class here in Wisconsin. Well, Mark, let's take the first of those three, declines in manufacturing, unionization, international trade issues. Why would those affect Wisconsin particularly hard compared to the rest of the country?
Well, the most important reason is that we're a heavy manufacturing state. We always rank in the top two. It's usually us, Indiana, Georgia is pretty high now in the percentage of the workforce that's in manufacturing. And so when manufacturing gets hit hard, Wisconsin is going to be disproportionately hit hard. Wisconsin, since 2000, has lost about 90%, about 90,000, or about 20%, 18 to 20% of its manufacturing jobs. One national study referred to the erosion of manufacturing generally since 2000 as being worse than even during the Great Depression in terms of the contraction of the manufacturing workforce. And so Wisconsin got hit very hard by the decline of manufacturing since 2000, which was both a function of the Great Recession stripping away thousands of those jobs after 2007, but also globalization and trade issues, which again disproportionately hit Wisconsin because of our concentration in manufacturing. A study by David O'Toole, an economist at MIT, found that Wisconsin was one of the states with the highest exposure to, or highest vulnerability to, Chinese imports in manufacturing. So as trade agreements with China were forged in the early 2000s, that was had a disproportionately negative impact on manufacturing in Wisconsin. And prior to that, we were quite vulnerable to the impact of the North American Free Trade Agreement. And so you saw a surge in offshoring by Wisconsin companies moving employment to Mexico, as well as simply Wisconsin manufacturers being vulnerable to competition from lower wage and lower price imports from Mexico. So the impact of those trade agreements, the impact of globalization, and the decline of manufacturing all sort of came together to particularly hit Wisconsin in a hard way. And that's I think, at the root of this, what I'm calling secular stagnation.
A lot of people say the story is, you know, the factory closes due to outsourcing, offshoring, that sort of thing. The workers there who once made a solidly or close to middle class wage, if they find a replacement job, it's in a service industry that pays substantially less. Do you think that's a big part of the story and that decline in median income in the state?
It is, I think, a big part of the story, this sort of downward occupational skidding, as sociologists call it, where you do have profound declines in income for displaced manufacturing workers. The study I did last fall on whether Wisconsin is becoming a low-wage state, which essentially had a similar finding to the recent studies on the decline of the middle class, showed a substantial decline between 2000 and 2013 in the proportion of what I call middle-income jobs, middle-income occupations in Wisconsin, actually about the same percentage decline as the Pew study found in terms of the decline of the middle class, which is kind of interesting. And what I found was that was caused by two main factors. One, a growth of classically low-wage jobs, you know, waiters and waitresses, fast food cooks, and the like, jobs that pay poorly. And so with an increase in those jobs, you obviously have an increase in the low-wage sector, but also a decline in the wage levels in historically middle-tier jobs, a lot of manufacturing jobs that were paying middle-tier wages, which I define in the sort of the $12.50, $13 and above range, were falling below that into the low-wage category. And a lot of that is because of the impact of offshoring. A lot of that's because of the impact of international competition. And a lot of that is because of the declining bargaining power of labor. I mean, deunionization has to figure into this. We've had a tremendous decline in Wisconsin, which has historically been, compared to other states, a heavily unionized state. The late 1960s and early 70s, an estimated 35% of the Wisconsin workforce was in manufacturing. Today, that was unionized. The manufacturing workforce was about 50% unionized. Today, it's about 11% for all workers. It's about 8% unionized for private sector workers, and only 17% unionized for manufacturing workers. And so, that decline has also figured in the shrinking ability of workers to bargain for essentially middle-class wages. And so we used to think of manufacturing as a way that you could have a stable middle class, a kind of a blue-collar middle class, and yearn for the return of those manufacturing jobs, and as opposed to service jobs. Well, it turns out the manufacturing jobs aren't paying what they used to anymore, and a big chunk of that is because of deunionization that's occurred.
Well, now at the state level, I think there's an effort to try to figure out, okay, what do we do about this long-term trend? And in communities around the state, planners, community groups, business people are trying to figure out how to restore middle-class type jobs to their communities. What can they do? I mean, this is a huge global thing. Can we make a difference at the state or local level here in Wisconsin?
I think we can. I think there are lots of things that need to be done nationally, and we can certainly talk about those. I think national macroeconomic policy is a very important part of this process, and trade agreements, and having trade agreements that don't undercut the living standards of American workers, I think is ultimately an essential part of this picture, and that hasn't been the case over the last 20 to 25 years in a kind of a bipartisan way. But locally and at the state level, I mean, in cities and at the state level, there are lots of things that can be done. I mean, clearly we can raise our minimum wage to a living wage. There's obviously all sorts of discussion about that, and whether economists have debated the extent to which that might ultimately cost jobs. I think the preponderance of the evidence is that raising the minimum wage doesn't do that, that we can safely do that, especially since the minimum wage has been stagnant for so long, and especially since the labor share of overall income has declined so much over the past decade or so. So certainly raising the minimum wage is a way to raise living standards and push the wage structure up. We can do things that will support the ability of workers to engage in collective bargaining and to mobilize to raise their living standards. In Wisconsin, we've obviously gone the opposite way over the last 3 or 4 years. Act 10 took away the collective bargaining rights for public employees, and the rate of unionization in the public sector has declined by about half in the state. That's clearly going to have an impact, and has been having an impact on wages. And, of course, we just passed a right-to-work law, and right-to-work states, the research suggests, tend to have lower wages. So those sorts of policies are pushing us, I think, in the opposite or in the wrong direction in terms of dealing with the whole issue of middle-class wages and the like. And so I would think one thing we could do at a state level is to reverse course on those policies and not only not have policies that reduce workers' bargaining power, but actually do things that would enhance the ability of workers to raise their wages. And then I think there are things we can do in tax policy to eliminate some of the regressive taxes that hit lower and middle-class income taxpayers harder, and make the tax code more progressive. That would reduce inequality, and it would, I think, aid in raising wages and incomes at the lower and middle tiers. So there are lots of things I think we can do.
We're talking about Wisconsin's shrinking middle class, the reasons behind this long-term decline, and what it means for Wisconsin's future. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story? Have you seen your real wages shrink over time? Do you feel like you're leaving the middle class, or that your kids won't have the opportunity to stay where you are economically? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up our conversation with Mark Levine after a look at the latest news with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about a new Pew Research study that shows Wisconsin ranks worst when it comes to families dropping out of the middle class. Looked at a time period from 2000 to 2013. You can join in on this at 800-642-1234. How do you see this playing out in your community, in your own family budget? You're finding it harder to make ends meet, maybe even though you're working longer hours? What's at the root of all this? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Mark Levine stays with us. He's professor of history, economic development, and urban studies and director of the UW-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development. Go to a caller now. We've got Dave on the line in Milwaukee. Dave, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I think I make like $13 an hour, and I don't make enough to pay my rent, so I'm forever tapping my pension to make ends meet. And I believe that top management for years has been doing this, but rather than invest in technology and in our workforce, they always go overseas for cheap labor. And I've always felt they've been very short-sighted.
Dave, thanks for the call. A short-sighted decision-making, keeping wages low. And he says not reinvesting in technology, Mark.
I think we have not reinvested as much. I wouldn't say technology so much as infrastructure in society. I mean, we have this tremendous infrastructure deficit now in the country, $3.5 trillion estimated by the American Society of Civil Engineers. Those are vital to the future of the country as a whole. They're vital to the economy. They're vital to productivity in regions, and they're job creating. They stimulate the overall economy. I mean, there are lots of benefits from those sorts of investments, and we've gotten progressively stingier in terms of making those investments. Even a relatively modest proposal, I mean, I know it sounds like a lot of money, the $60 billion that the Obama administration proposed for an infrastructure investment program, but even that amount, which wouldn't be, which would be a small down payment on this huge overall deficit, was balked at by Congress. And so as we drive around on pothole-filled streets and as we have inadequate transit systems and crumbling bridges and sewage systems that maybe don't function as well as they should, we should also realize that we're also neglecting an important contributor to overall economic growth and future economic growth. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of kind of short-sightedness. And the other part of it is that, Dave mentioned having to tap into his pension to compensate for the lack of increasing wages over the years or having low wages. You know, a variant of that was prior certainly to the Great Recession and undoubtedly continuing afterwards were families overextending themselves on credit. There was very influential economic analysis of the causes of the Great Recession, and there are many, but one was, one of these analyses was that, we basically had a credit bubble, and instead of raising people's wages over the years, we essentially encouraged them to maintain their living standards by borrowing and borrowing and living on credit, the so-called let them eat credit approach to the economy. So that's been a problem because we've had stagnant wages, as I said, for quite a long time. This isn't something that just happened in the last 2 or 3 years. This has been going on really since the end of the 1970s, where we've had stagnant real wages in the country. And so increasingly credit has become the lifeline, but you can't continually do that because that obviously leads to the kind of bubble that, that helped bring the economy down in 2007 and 2008.
Dave, thanks for the call. As we talk about the declining middle class with Mark Levine, we go now to Joe on the line in La Crosse. Joe, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I'll tell you, I just had a situation where I had to make a job change, and I went back to a construction company that I worked for 20 years ago, and their wage price is their pay price is only $1.50 more than what I was getting 20 years ago. And, I hope this is temporary, but I'm very, very concerned about this. I think it's Senator Hutchinson, and it's probably going to go through with Walker's budget on the prevailing wage. Because for us guys that are doing concrete, when we got a state job or if we got lucky enough to get a federal job, that's the only place we made money. And if that goes away, all of us that are, unfortunately non-union, like I am, it's just going to hurt all of us workers because that prevailing wage goes away. And then all these places are going to say, oh, sorry, we can't pay you anymore, or we're not going to pay you anymore.
Joe, thanks a lot for the call. Mark Levine, $1.50 more than it was 20 years ago, and we've got to factor inflation in there. So stagnant wages in his line of work.
Yeah, I mean, declining real wages across the board. I mean, even in occupations where we hear employers talking about their inability to find workers, you've heard of the so-called skills gap and concern by, for example, manufacturers saying, they can't find enough welders or they can't find enough CNC machinists or programmers. But yet you look at the wages in those two occupations, and since the 1980s, and Joe was talking about going back quite a few years, real wages have declined by 15-20% for those two occupations. if you even go back to 2000, you're talking about, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10% declines, again, when you factor in inflation. So you've had, you know, basically no pay increases. Inflation erodes the value of that wage, you therefore end up with declining living standards for families that depended on those wages.
And we'll have to leave it there, Mark. Thank you for joining us today.
Great. Thanks a lot, Rob. I appreciate it.
That's Mark Levine, Professor of History, Economic Development, and Urban Studies, Director of the UW-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development, talking about a new Pew study on the declining middle class in Wisconsin and around the country. We have a link to their infographic over at the Central Time Facebook page.